The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Well, praise God for the wonderful time of worship today and reminder that God is with us. We do not know all of the reasons of the whys of God, but I believe there's times we simply stop asking why and we just say, what? What, Lord, do you want me to do? How do you want me to want me to respond at this time? And so thank God for praise time. We've had opportunities to speak with many just about what they're facing and listening to them in the last number of days and weeks. We had many, many witnesses in Edmonton and some in Calgary, just opportunities to stand and say, these were the God moments in my evacuation or the fire or whatever we've been facing. And so there will be times in the future to again give you opportunity to share. I was speaking with just one specific thing with a lady recently who's been coming and going in this building. And I love the song we just sang. God is a good, good father. Amen. He's a good, good father and all of his ways are perfect. We do not understand all of that, what he allows or what he sends. He either sends it or allows it, one or the other. But the scripture tells us in the book of Psalms that all of the ways of God are perfect. He has an ultimate plan for everything that happens. And we need to be able to discern, Lord, where do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to serve you? And I sense that God is uniting our church and he's also bringing us back into a place of service. So that, Lord, life is brief, it is uncertain. We have just so much time here, so Lord, here's my life. Use me however you would want to use me. And I sense that for many of you. And it's been just a personal blessing to listen to your stories. One lady I've been speaking with really is trying to grapple with, she doesn't live in this city any longer. She used to, but she's not a church attender. But she's trying to grapple with this matter of that God loves her. Simple, sounds simple, doesn't it? But for some of us, we struggle with that matter that God really cares and he really loves us. The Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. Now, what does all mean? This is very deep. What does all mean? All of us. We've all sinned. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. We've all said things we wish we could retract and we can't any longer. We've all thought things we shouldn't have thought. We've all left things undone that we should have done. So we've all sinned. There's a root problem within us. We've all sinned. And I just tried to share with that lady, you know, that's a reality. You're not the only one that have done things that you shouldn't have done. We've all been there. And some of us are there. We've all sinned. Yet the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God shows his love toward us. Remember that? God demonstrates. The word showed there is God demonstrates his love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the demonstration of God to we who really have shortcomings, we have a sin issue. We have come short of God's awesome character. But even in that shortness, God demonstrates his love for us. How did he demonstrate it? He demonstrated in that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the what? Died on the cross. You believe that? And when he hung on the cross, he was crucified. That was because of my sin issue. And the perfect one took my sins and carried them that day on that cross 2,000 years ago. And if we believe that, believe Christ, that he died for our sins, and that on the third day he rose from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. Not later on, but right now. You'll be rescued right now. So even in the midst of uncertainty, I believe God has shaken our city and kind of shaken some of the foundations we thought were steady, but they were uncertain, so that we might be able to stand upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and know him and trust him and live for him, so that come what may, we are stable on the rock that never trembles, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you here today have suffered great loss during the last number of weeks. You've lost your homes. You've lost all of your belongings. You've lost some of those special memory things that you thought you would have. And you have suffered really very significant loss. And some of us, it's just been simply a time of inconvenience. We really haven't lost much, and some have gained through this turmoil. But all of us have been shaken, because everything happens so quickly, so suddenly, and many of us were caught in the traffic jams. I had always wished that I could go up north to the camps. Ever since I've come here, I've been here now for just over 13 months, and one of my goals is I want to go up to the camps and see what the oil guys do and the oil gals do. I didn't think I would be evacuated to the camps. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be under my own volition. But even being there and being with those hundreds and thousands of people that were evacuated to the north, and hearing stories, somehow God is in the storm. And we've seen that. So some of you have suffered significant loss. Thank God there's been no loss of life in the evacuation. Really a miracle that a city of almost 90,000 can be evacuated in a few hours with no loss of life. A few days later, there's a loss of life in the highway toward Anzac. But in the evacuation day, that just speaks to me, doesn't it, to you? That in the midst of all of that, God protected people. God protected people. Because people are eternal. 1 million years from now, we're going to be alive. The soul is eternal. We are eternal people. But we have a decision to make. And I wouldn't be true to God's word, the scriptures, because it's a decision time. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. Do you believe him? I am the way, he said. If you want to know how to get to heaven, he's the way. Not just, I will show you the way. I am the way. Trust me. Believe in me. Commit your life to me. Jesus Christ, the one who died, is the one who rose. He ascended up in heaven. He's seated on the right hand of God the Father. And one day he's coming back again. Amen? And he said, I'm the way. Give your heart to Christ. Commit your life to him. Believe him. He said, I'm the way and the truth. He's the truth. Trustworthy. And he said, I'm the life. And he gives us not only this physical life through our mothers and our fathers, but he gives us eternal life through Christ. I've been thinking in these, while I was thinking through our first day back, our first Sunday back, just prior to our evacuation 5 weeks ago, I had begun a series of sermons on the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and we had spent some time, invested some time in the first church. Remember, it was a church in Ephesus, and John was exiled to the island of Patmos because he was a Christian and a Christian leader. We had a little taste of exile, a little taste of it, but because John followed Christ, this great apostle, remember Jesus chose the 12, and the three inner circle were Peter, James, and John. I'm talking about John now. And John, he was about 90 years old. He was exiled to the island of Patmos because he would not recant his faith in Christ. Back in those days, it was not easy being a Christian. And for many countries in the world today, while we are seated here, they are dispossessed or they are exiled or they are imprisoned or their employment is taken away. Or in some cases in the world today, their lives will be taken today simply because they won't surrender their faith in Jesus Christ. And they say, no, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. I will not recant in that. So it's not simple back in those days to live for Christ. Sometimes it was tough. But I love the song that was chosen today. I have decided to follow who? Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So we looked at the church at Ephesus. It had a lot going for it. It was biblically, it was sound. They believed the truth of God's word, but they had grown cold in the sense of loving Christ passionately and loving others. Therefore, their witness in the community, their witness in this city of Ephesus had gotten cold. In other words, the lampstand, the light on top, which is the church, the light was getting dim.
And the Lord spoke 60 years after he went back to heaven. He spoke a word to John and said, John, write this down so the churches for all time will be able to hear my heart. So he did write, and he said, church, you're a great church. Yeah, don't get cold. Don't get cold. Don't lose that first spark of love. And then when I began to read the next church, I thought, well, I'm just going to keep on trucking. Is that all right? And we'll just spend a few minutes in the second church in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8, because this is very interesting. And when I read this over again, I thought, well, this is timely. This is timely. The second church, many people call it the suffering church, the church that was tested, the church that was tried, the church that went through difficult times. And so when I began to read Revelation 2 and verse 8, it seemed to speak to me in the sense, we are not going through the heartache that they went through, but we've had a little taste of being tested. We've had a taste of uncertainty. We've had a taste of fear. We've had a taste of, shall we continue with God? Where is God now? We've had a little taste of that. But listen to what this church went through. Look what it says in Revelation 2 and verse 8. Jesus says to John, write the letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. So the city is Smyrna. He said, write the letter to the church in Smyrna. This is a message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but now is what? Alive. Now, if Jesus says he's the first and the last, I believe it. You know, we are often caught in this little space called time, but the Lord that we love and the Lord that we serve, he said, I'm the first. I was there before the beginning. And I'm the what? I'm the last. After all is said and done, I still will be. I'm the first. It's the same thing, isn't it, as he's the rock. He's the rock. Let me just say again, I believe in Jesus. Do you? I believe he's a constant one. Do you? You see, this is what he says. I'm the first and I'm the last. Long after the quote-unquote heroes and emperors and leaders and presidents and prime ministers, long after they've come and gone and come and gone and come and gone, I will still be here. I'm the first and I'm the last. Jesus is his name. And then he said, I was dead and now I'm alive and I'm alive forevermore. Never again will he suffer on a cross. So after saying, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the constant one, he says, I'm the one that, yes, I went through suffering too. He would never say it this way, but it's basically, here's how I think it. If you think you've been through something, never forget I was crucified on the cross. I suffered. I understand suffering. And even his 30 years here was a lot, there were a lot of different times of suffering, rebuke, accusations, false words thrown his way. He was derided, he was ridiculed, he was mocked. He understands suffering. And he's ours, and by his Spirit he lives in us. So he says, I'm the first and the last. Then he says to this church, he said, I know your sufferings and your poverty. Called the suffering church, the tested church, the materially poor church. But watch what he says. I know your sufferings. He knows all of what you've gone through these last weeks too. I know your sufferings. I know your poverty, but you are rich. It's possible to be materially poor, but spiritually rich. Amen. It's possible to lose many material things but still be wealthy in Christ and all he is and all he's afforded us and all he promises as eternity unfolds. He said, you're a poor church materially, but you're a rich church in Christ. He says this, he said, you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. The early church, you see, were predominantly converted Jews. Peter, James, John, all of those early disciples, they saw that this one, Jesus, was the Messiah. He was the promised one. And they believed that he's the long-awaited one. Many of the Jews did not. They were still waiting. Many Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come. Someone said, if the Messiah to come is not Jesus, it's quite unbelievable, because there's nobody like Jesus. So many of the early church were Jewish people. Jesus is a Jew, still is a Jew, always will be a Jew. And for a period of time, there was not a lot of friction between the Jewish leaders and the early church, but the more that people came to Christ, the more tense it got. And the church then became a target of religious leaders that did not accept, you see, that Christ as a Messiah. Look at what he says here. They say they're Jews, but they're not in their hearts. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. That's an interesting phrase. He says, Jesus is saying, church, I know the suffering you're going through. Political opposition, material lost, religious fanaticism. They were going through a time of testing. It was tough for the Christians. And he said, I know what you're going through. He said, you will be tested 10 days. Scholars still wrestle with this matter of 10 days. What did Jesus mean, 10 days? I don't know how literal to take that. We know it was a period of time. During this time, when this was written by the Apostle John, Domitian was the emperor, and he despised Christians. And he had thousands of them slaughtered. So it was a tough time right then. And this city of Smyrna, it was a very interesting city. It was unique. The city of Smyrna had been committed to Rome long before Rome was powerful. Did you hear what I said? This particular city, Smyrna, it was known to have been early committed to Rome. Therefore, when Rome became a dominant power, Rome just poured finances there, money there, improvements there. It just caused this city to rise right up, because they were the ones who cared for Rome when others did not care for Rome. Even to this extent, there was more than one temple in the city of Smyrna dedicated to imperial worship. The imperial court, a cult. You know what that is? There was more than one. One got destroyed and they built another one. And there was a goddess in that temple, not Jesus Christ, the one true living God. But there was a goddess in that temple. And the goddess, when they went in that temple, they didn't necessarily worship that goddess, but it was a signal to the people to ascribe deity to the emperor. You know what that meant? That meant that they not only worshiped gods and goddesses, but they worshiped the emperor. He's divine. He's deity. And let me tell you this, if you were a Christian, if I were a Christian in Smyrna, and I did not say, Caesar is Lord, I was in trouble. And by saying Caesar's Lord, attributing divinity to him. Let me say this, a Christian cannot do that. A Christian ought not to do that. Because who is our Lord? Jesus is our Lord. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that is the God that we worship. The great three in one. And different times the Bible says, even in the book to the Romans, which is interesting. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Isn't that interesting? If we believe in our hearts that Christ died for us, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. We are God's people. But in those days, sometimes the emperor would get very heavy-handed and say, any of those Christ followers in this city that won't say, I'm the Lord, eliminate them. Take away their place of employment. So it was tough, because most of the believers, the true ones, would not say Caesar is Lord. Jesus is Lord. It's one thing to pledge allegiance to our country. It's one thing to honor and pray for our leaders. It is a totally different thing to say that they are divine. They are not divine. Amen? Let me say it this way. They are certainly not divine. Amen? But back in those days, the emperor was so powerful. And this city was honored special by the emperor. And there was a temple to worship him in. It was tough to say Jesus is Lord and to not deny that that the emperor was. So that's why he says the devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. 10 days is interesting. There's a reference back to Daniel. Remember Daniel the prophet? They were just young boys, 17 years old, teenagers. And they were taken out of Israel and they were popped into Babylon. And these teenagers were now being groomed to be leaders in a new country. And what we would call them, the people who are giving them training in the new country, new language, new culture, new country. Many of you understand what that means. And they were trained in all those things. They brought food to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And they were given food. But as soon as they were handed the food, they knew this food was offered to idols. They knew that king's food had a lot of connotations. So Daniel stepped up and said, "We cannot eat that." So Daniel said this. Daniel said, "Just give us something simple, and we'll eat that. And after 10 days, test us." After literally 10 days, they did it twice. After 10 days, test us and see if we're not as strong as, or maybe stronger than anyone else. That was true. My dear friends, let me say this, whether we like it or not, God will test us periodically. He may be testing us now. Are we going to be simply like those who have no God or worship no God or do not know the Lord we know? This is a time of testing. May we come through like gold. May we rise above in the name of God of what we are facing. May on the other side of it, we will become more dedicated to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Daniel was tested 10 days. Shadrach, Meshach, later on, those three guys, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Same thing, we serve the one true living God. We will not surrender that no matter what. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And one of the most delightful songs I've heard many years ago is "Somebody Else Showed Up in the Fire." Remember that? This great king, Babylonian king, looked in. How many did we throw in? Three. Three. Shadrach, Meshach, threw three in. He said, I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God, looks like the Son of Man. He's different. And we know who he is, Jesus Christ. You see, whatever we go through, he's in the fire with us. He understands this. He has not left us, nor has he left our city. Then look what he says. You will suffer for 10 days, a time of test. But if you remain faithful, even facing death, I will give you the crown of life. I have been told that the city of Smyrna was so geographically arranged that it looked like feet at the bottom going into the harbor, and then the body, and then the head, and then the crown on the head. Geographically, looked like that. And Lord is saying here, I tell you about the crown of life. You be faithful to me in adversity, even to the giving of your life, because you're a Christian. And he said, I will give you the crown of what? Of life. There are rewards for following Christ. I don't like always to give personal testimony. But I remember when I began, by the goodness of God, to follow Jesus Christ, and I've been following him for over half a century. Every day,
every week, every month. There's been tough times, some of them. But let me say this. It might be tough in the will of God, but it's a lot tougher out of it. Christians might be stung and mocked and ridiculed, and we often are politically incorrect, especially these days, because we're believers of the Scriptures. It's sometimes tough in the will of God, but it's a lot tougher out of it. Because Jesus is the one who gives the crown of what? The crown of life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Only Son. I have a Son. I cannot imagine giving my only Son. But God gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should never perish. And the Greek there says, never, never. Come to Christ today. Be sure you know him. Trust him in your heart. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Come into my life today. Make today the day if you don't know Christ. And then he will say to you, you will never perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And then he concludes like this. Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful conclusion here. He says this. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious, that's the one who knows Christ, and that the turmoils of life is simply a test to deepen our faith. By his grace, we do not turn back. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Pretty heavy, that one, because when you go to the end of the book of Revelation, the second death is that lake of fire and brimstone. I know it's not politically correct. I know a few talk about it these days, but there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to avoid. Many of you have said in testimony, getting out of this fire 5 weeks ago, well, we all got out. But in the lake of fire, no one gets out. Ever. Ever. You know something? Come what will in this life. Because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for humanity, and because the simple, by faith, Lord, become mine, it's not good works. Is simply trusting, Lord, you did enough when you died for me. Paid for all my sins in full. And Lord, I trust you. Personal. I trust you for time and eternity. Become mine. And because of that, we never fear the second death. We never fear that other that is not heaven. That fear is gone. That fear is gone. What a blessing that is. I want to many of our Muslim friends and neighbors and co-workers are praying for these 30 days. And we want to pray for our neighbors and our co-workers. And this is a great, great help, 30 days of prayer for our Muslim friends, our Muslim world. So I use this. I started last year. And by the way, you'll be getting one of these on the way out. Just take it. You may say, well, I don't pray much. Well, just read it. Read it so that you might get to know your neighbors and friends and co-workers. Quite a number of them are coming here during the week to be helped out. We are to love and we are to care. We are to pray. And this is interesting to me. In Turkestan, there's a group of countries in Central Asia. And it's kind of generally called Turkestan. It's not easy being a Christian in some of those nations. And today, many, many Islamic people are coming to Christ. I mean thousands and thousands. Not just a few here or there, like 100 years ago. Thousands are turning to Christ. Literally thousands. But it's not easy for them. You imagine coming to the Lord and saying, Jesus is Lord. Giving your heart to him and your life to him, Mom doesn't understand. Dad doesn't understand. Siblings don't understand. Community doesn't understand. It's not easy.
And one man who, in one of these countries, he was being kind of interviewed. He said, in our country, persecuted believers meet discreetly in homes and private settings. They're not allowed to have church buildings. So we meet discreetly in homes or private settings. We often face troubles, he said, person who came to Christ. We often face troubles, but still we are praising God. He said this, we have a saying. Listen to this, we have a saying. So the Lord kind of speaks to me, Les, you didn't lose much, did you? Just keep on. He says, we are still praising God. We have a saying, if you are arrested, praise God that you have not been beaten. If you have been beaten, praise God that you have not been killed. This is today. This is how they're living today, the Christians. And if you have been killed, praise God that you are now with Jesus in heaven. So what's the message today? Well, the church at Smyrna was severely tested materially, politically, pressure on them. Societally, they were under the gun. They knew what loss meant. They had friends and Christian leaders that lost their lives. But through it all, they said, Jesus reminded them, I will not leave you. I'm there. I know what suffering means. I will give you one day a crown of life. Forever you'll be able to praise, walk with me. And then he said, by the way, not almost a postscript, but he said, by the way, it's not just about time. It's about forever. It's about eternity. And you will never face the second death. Someone said this, if we're born once, we will die twice. But if we're born twice, we'll only die once. And Jesus said we must be born again. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God today. Thank you that even in the midst of change and upheaval and trial and uncertainty, you are the constant one. And Father, thank you that you know what we go through. You know the testings. You know the trials. Thank you that you will take us through. That the testing is 10 days. It will finish. It will finish. You always put limits upon times of testing. And Father, I do pray for each person that's gathered here today. I pray that each one will just search their hearts, search our hearts to be sure our faith is in Christ and deepen our faith, that those with whom we encounter day by day in all of the settings of life will know that one is a follower of Christ. There's something sure, steady, and different about that Christian. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody looking around. How many can say, Pastor Les, I know Christ. I know him personally. I've trusted him. Raise your hand quickly till I see it. That's almost everyone here today. Thank you. You may put your hand down. There might be somebody here say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if Christ is in my life, but I want him in my life. Pray for me this week. I'd be delighted to do that. Would you raise your hand, please? Pray for me. I'm not sure if Christ is mine, but I want to be sure. Just raise your hand till I see it quickly and pull it back down again. Thank God. Anyone else? Just raise it. Pastor, I want to be sure I have Christ. Raise your hand. I'll pull it back down again. You who raised your hand to trust the Lord, just simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose on the third day. Come into my life right now. Did you pray that? Come into my life right now. Become my Savior from sin and the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.